You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be opening up at 10 a.m. at the Spider Lake Church Youth Center, located at 11255 Highway 77 in Hayward, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They got lots of produce and meats, and lots of things there you can have. Everyone's encouraged to get food from this program. Regardless of your financial situation, you should check it out. Again, at the Spider Lake Church Youth Center, located on Highway 77, opening up at 10 o'clock today until 3. The girls' varsity tennis from Barron Schools will be away at Regis High School today at 4 o'clock. Again, the girls' varsity tennis from Barron Schools, 4 o'clock at Regis High School. Girls' golf from Barron High School will be meeting at the Grantsburg Public Golf Course at 4 o'clock today. Girls' varsity golf for Barron Schools will be meeting at the Grantsburg Public Golf Course. Open house at the Stone Lake History Museum starts at 5 o'clock going until 7. Refreshments will be provided. The Stone Lake History Museum is located at 6064 Stone Lake Road in Stone Lake, of course. And again, it's an open house for the museum starting at 5 o'clock and going until 7. On Wednesday, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf is open once again from 10 until 3. They are located at 11255 Highway 77, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. It's also identified as the Spider Lake Youth Center, but that's where the food shelf operates from. And they have lots of meats and produce available for anyone, regardless of your financial situation. Check it out, 10 o'clock until 3 on Wednesday. Strong Bodies Program starts at 10:30 at the LCO Aging and Disability Center, located at 13856 West Corbine Road in Stone Lake. Their Strong Bodies program increases strength, muscle mass, and bone density. Classes are held twice weekly and include progressive resistance training, balance training, and flexibility exercises. If you need a ride, call Bob for some transportation, 715-699-3529. Again, that's the Strong Bodies program at the LCO Elder Center. Super Senior classes will be open at 11 o'clock on Wednesday at the Hayward Resource Center, located at 15856 East 5th Street in Hayward. $2 classes will get you 45 minutes. Chair-based exercises working on balance, strength, coordination, and core. Again, starting at 11 o'clock at the Hayward Senior Resource Center. There is a credit repair workshop available at the La Couture University starting at 12 noon for the first session and 5 o'clock for the second session. Learn how to read your credit score correctly, common credit myths busted, how to address collections and charge-offs and late payments, and tips to build a strong credit. This is offered at the LCO University, located at 13466 West Trepanier Road in Hayward. Sign up by contacting them at 715-588-1600. Again, that number is 715-588-1600. The Artbeat of Hayward is opening a new exhibit entitled Broad Strokes Water Colorists. And this is presented by Helena Fiber Art. Their artwork is going to start on September 4th through the 8th For more information about this, you can call the Artbeat of Hayward, 715-934-2780. Again, a new display opening up at the Artbeat of Hayward, located at 15845 West 2nd Street in downtown Hayward. Power Pump, a dumbbell class designed for all fitness levels, will be starting at 4 o'clock on Wednesday at the Cable Community Center, located at 13660 County Highway M. Again, this dumbbell class targets all major muscle groups by using exercise such as squats, presses, lifts, and curls. Emphasize low weight loads and high repetitions and motivational music. Again, Power Pump, held at the Cable Community Center at 4 o'clock until 5. A Wednesday night supper is being offered by the First Lutheran Church, located at 10680 Main Street in Hayward. There they have a carry-out only drive-up. Someone will greet you and give you the number of meals that you need. And this is a free will donation. Again, Wednesday night supper starting from 5 until 6 at the First Lutheran Church at 16080 Main Street in Hayward. The Tammy Schwartz Wellness Studio is offering a new perspective on health starting at 6:30 until 7:15. This will be at 15770 East Guard Street. This is a free event, and Tammy brings clarity around nutrition and what leads to optimal health by sharing. That is a new perspective on health at 6:30 at the Tammy Schwartz Wellness Studio. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
More with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North coming up on a Tuesday morning, a Greeple Tuesday. Joel Karnick here and Gray Gunderson. Little green, little purple, gray, week one of the NFL. Football Talk Tuesday, week one is
officially in the books. It's done. It's here.
Yes, and we'll mix in a little green and a little purple in both of our segments, but you were kind of unable to watch the game, didn't watch the game last night. In fact, until just moments ago, didn't really know who won.
Yes,
right?
So you and I discussed this, and we were in great shape. We'll pull the curtain back a little bit for the people, let them know, like, you and I were really excited about this. We're going to come in early Tuesday morning after the game. We'll both, you know, because my Packer game went phenomenal, and we needed your side of things, so we were both excited about it. And then I come in this morning, I was like, Joel, I didn't watch the game. It wasn't possible. I couldn't.
Literally, I walked in the door, and I said, "Do you even know who won?" I don't know who won. I'm just like, whoa.
Well,
all right.
So I thought about that, and I thought, okay, I could just Google it and know who won, or I could watch the highlights and sort of let the game unfold for me. And then I realized that I'd done it wrong and that I needed to be more informed. And so I ended up Googling who won in the end anyway. And so I've got some light cliff notes. But what I'm going to do between our segments, I'm going to inform myself a little bit better and watch a little bit of the All-22 film and see what I can see. But from what I could see on those just light touches, comeback.
I'll give you my opinion on the whole and the emotions of last night's game from a Viking fan. We'll cover that in a little bit.
Yeah,
there was both ends of the spectrum last night. Totally. But after week one of the NFL, I would like to brag for a moment because I know this probably won't hold true for very long, and usually doesn't in the NFL. But after week one of the NFL, the NFC North division is what I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
And it's probably going to change. All right. Caleb Williams, I just don't think he's a number one quarterback. That's my opinion. Detroit, I just think is taking a step back this year. The way the Packers kicked their tuchuses on the line of scrimmage on Sunday explains that. And I think the Vikings and Packers are the two best teams in the division. Again, after week one, but I feel pretty good about it because that's kind of what I thought was going to happen. Thank you very much.
And of course, you got to take the confirmation where you can get it, even if it's only for a week's time. One thing I did see was I caught a couple highlights mid-game because once I realized last night I couldn't watch the game, I did try to keep up with some sources of info. So I'd see a couple highlights here and there, and I did see a couple things from Caleb Williams that actually looked decent. So maybe the game ended up looking uglier than I thought it did for him just from the one or two highlights I saw. But no, I agree. You and I discussed what we expected from the division a lot. And Joel, I am not a compelling listen when it comes to predictions because I'm not going to Stephen A. Smith you. I'll tell you that I think it could be a lot of different things that happen. I'll tell you the future is uncertain, and that's boring.
And my prediction of the Vikings being there with the Packers was predicated on the fact that J.J. McCarthy was at least a middle of the pack quarterback. And in last night's game, I'll give you the emotion of last night's game. Now, Packer fans, you've had Brett Favre, you've had Aaron Rodgers, you've had some pretty good quarterbacks for a while. So the emotions of the quarterback position for Packer fans is a little less off the charts and below the charts than a Viking fan. Is that safe to say?
I would say so, yeah.
So last night, early second quarter, I said out loud, and my hat may or may not have left my forehead and been chucked across the room, I may or may not have said out loud, Ponder Jr. All right?
Handoff artist!
That may have come out of my mouth at some point. And I knew what the Vikings were doing last night. They were easing J.J. McCarthy into the NFL. They were baby steps early, just little handoffs and little stuff, on the little flips out to the flat. And the Bears knew that. The Bears were just... they were just eating up the line of scrimmage. They were stopping the run. They were saying, we don't think this young kid's going to throw the ball down the field. And he didn't early. And the Bears absolutely dominated the Vikings last night at the line of scrimmage. The Vikings, let me give you this stat. The Vikings did not convert a third down until 13 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. All right.
Ooh.
They were 0-for-7 on third down. Still, we're only down 17-6.
You basically just told me I can skip all the first three quarters of highlights.
Oh, it was a bear domination. I mean, they celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Super Bowl last night, and Aikman and Buck were borderline like, this defense, resembles a defense I remember from 40 years ago. And it was. They were dominating the Vikings in the first half. So with that said, obviously J.J. McCarthy, they took a little bit of the reins off him, put him in the shotgun. He scored 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, became the first ever NFL quarterback in his first game to have 3 touchdowns, 2 passing, 1 rushing in the fourth quarter to lead the comeback. And it was encouraging for Viking fans to see that after a disastrous first half. Absolutely disastrous first half.
You know, the other thing I didn't look at was my fantasy team because I was in a situation where all I had left was Justin Jefferson and a 20-point deficit to overcome.
He did get a touchdown, but yeah. I don't think I got 30 yards or so, maybe. Not much.
Well, you said J.J. got 3. I was like, well, if Jefferson caught all 3 of those, I might have a chance, and it sounds like that may not be.
So the game last night was an emotional roller coaster for Viking fans, to say the least. But when it all came down to the end, and the Vikings ended up winning, and J.J. McCarthy ran the ball in for the deciding touchdown. I think Viking fans saw, hopefully they saw in for Viking fans in J.J. McCarthy, that ability. He's always been a winner. You know, he won a national title. That ability in the fourth quarter when they needed him, he made the throws and he made the decisions. And for a first game ever in the NFL, it was off to a pretty good start in that second half, no doubt.
Man, you know, Joel, I'm happy for you, but you know what I'm realizing I'm super curious about is what did Ben Johnson do with his first game as a head coach? I want to see the Johnson Williams. I want to see what Ben Johnson's going to do with Caleb Williams. Will it look like what Ben Johnson did for Jared Goff, which was basically bring him from maybe he's a backup now to, wow, maybe he's top 3.
Williams, very athletic. He made the Viking defense look foolish in that first half the way he ran. He ran. The Vikings took that away then in the second half and made him throw the ball, and he's not a great thrower. And that's what it came down to. He made some bad throws, should have probably been picked a couple of times. But his athleticism and his ability to run with his legs? Oh, definitely. I mean, he made the Vikings look ridiculous in that first half, but the Vikings adjusted and were able to shut him down and get a hand in his face. And he was, I think they had six consecutive third down failures in the second half. The Bears did. They were 0-for-6. So,
you want me to be scared of their feet? I won't be.
Yeah, well, more on that. We'll talk more on the Packers side on the second segment here this morning. It's a Greeple Tuesday with Greg Gunderson over there, the Packer guy, Joel Karnick here, the Viking guy. Stick around at 7:52. We'll talk more green and gold and purple here on the Buzz of the North. More with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North coming up here on another cool morning here on a Tuesday. Tuesdays are Greeples. That's right.
You got one victory, Joel, and you fell apart.
I did. I really did. We're talking green and gold. We're talking purple, thus the Greeple. I bragged a lot about J.J. McCarthy in the earlier segment, so let's talk about the Packers. The one thing that I came away from watching that game as an opponent of the Packers, the Vikings in that division, was I was impressed with the Packers' line. And offensive line was pretty good. Defensive line, if they do that all year, yep. I'm not saying they're going to do it all year. The Lions had a lot of personnel changes in the offseason, so we're not sure how good that's going to be. But that was a great start for that Packer defensive line on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Be excited, Packer fans. Be excited. That's exactly what you want to happen when you bring Micah Parsons in. You don't necessarily want or expect Micah Parsons to get 3 sacks a game, but if he can, that's 50 sacks a year, you're going to let him do that. What a good pass rusher does, I mean, and you can hear Mike Holmgren talk about Reggie White that way. The sign of how good Reggie White was in the stats of Gilbert Brown. That's one of the ways he'll put it. Like, you want to see how good Reggie was? Watch his highlights, but watch Gilbert's highlights and look at the how was Gilbert before Reggie got there. And then once Reggie got there, like, listen to Micah Parsons immediately after the game. He's talking to Lucas Van Ness, or he's talking to the press about Lucas Van Ness, about how good Lucas is going to have it this year. Well, part of that's because the guy who would be blocking Lucas is over on Micah in a double team. Yeah. So we're about to have a blocking advantage on just about every play that Parsons is on the field, because even if he's not the guy, there's two guys on him, which means someone else can be.
Yeah, and a pretty common way that teams will approach a guy like Micah Parsons is you'll double team him. We saw that a lot on Sunday. And then your offense will have a tendency to call plays or switch plays at the line of scrimmage that may lean toward where Micah is. Let's say Micah Parsons lines up, you know, the quarterback gets under center, and here's Micah Parsons to the right of the center right there. So the offense may think, okay, we're going to double him. So we're going to go at him because we think we can get by him. Well, then that frees up the guy coming from the backside, let's say, on the run play.
Yep.
So if you don't do what you're supposed to do with Micah Parsons, or maybe he totally ties up those two blockers and even wins the battle at the line of pushing him back a little bit into the backfield, you're in a lot of trouble because you better blow up that guy you're double teaming.
Yes.
You better knock him to his butt. And I don't see Micah Parsons being knocked to his butt a whole lot.
No, certainly not. He's 6'4", he's 240, and he hits you with all that momentum. He's got speed to power. He's
energy. Energy.
He can speed rush you. He can power rush. He can decide between those two. I mean, most pass rushers have 2 or 3 moves. Micah has 4 or 5, which is basically the whole repertoire, and he can kind of decide between them. If you look at his success rate, there's 4 out of those 5 he uses really well, and there's one he's pretty deficient in, and I don't remember which. But that's what makes a good pass rusher, is that they have options. But I know those of you out there who really know football, you don't have to double team him. You can chip block him. Yes, indeed. But like, so just for those more casual fans, the ones yelling at the radio are out there like, yeah, you don't need 2 guys. You can use timing. And you really can. You can basically very quickly block Micah and then make sure you get the ball out before he gets to the quarterback. And in so doing, only use 1 guy to block him. But in order to pull that off, you need a quarterback who's capable of making the decision that quickly. It's basically the same thing as a few years ago when the zero blitz was trendy. You basically send everybody, and if that quarterback can't make the decision and throw the ball in 1.5 seconds, there's a sack. Okay, almost nobody can except Patrick Mahomes. And so Patrick Mahomes was lighting up people who were bringing the zero blitz against him. So we got to watch out because, yes, there are opportunities to slow Micah down with one person. And there aren't many guys who can do it. But when we play our hand towards that, we're going to get dominated. You know, when a team can handle that Micah effect, it's going to be really bad for us because our cornerbacks are relying on the pass rush. The linebackers and the defensive backs are relying on the mistakes that the defensive line creates.
Yeah.
And that's our defense this year. That is how it's going to work. Defensive line creates pressure, creates mistakes, creates opportunities, and Xavier McKinney gets to eat. I can't wait if it works that way.
Well, like with most great teams, you know, one player makes your team better, but it doesn't necessarily make you a Super Bowl champion.
Exactly.
And Micah Parsons, when I saw him a couple different times chasing down the quarterback out of the pocket on Sunday, I thought to myself, that's a faster version of John Randall.
Yes.
I mean, and the energy he has, just you can just feel the intensity mm-hmm. when he's stalking the quarterback as he's running out of the yes. pocket. You can just feel it.
So here we were on the road. I was listening on the radio and listening to Wayne Larrivee describe that Micah Parsons sack on Jared Goff. It was like, that was really exciting. It was his first one, but it didn't necessarily sound like Micah accomplished much. It kind of sounded like he cleaned up a bit of a mess that the whole team made. But then I watched the highlight back. And if you haven't watched that highlight closely, again, it's not that super exciting of a sack, except that it's the first. But watch Micah separate himself from the pile of bodies. That is downright frightening because so the play starts, you got 5-on-5, that becomes a soup. You know, you get that pile of, it looks like the dust cloud out of Warner Brothers, fists and feet and claws and a couple pen scratches. And then out of that nonsense, Micah Parsons leaps out of it. And he's already got momentum before you even see him separate himself from the pile. It's like, wait a minute, how did you even start with he's got a running start yeah. out of a pile of bodies, and he's like a missile aimed at Jared Goff. And I mean, lion after a gazelle. It's kind of freaky to watch. It's like, how did you know where Jared was? There were 8 dudes like partying with you right there, and then boom, he's there. Yeah. It's terrifying.
And his speed will, I think, help when you play a quarterback like Caleb Williams, who has speed yes. coming out of the pocket. If you got a Vikings found that out last night, if you got a fast lineman who can get out there and make that running quarterback like Caleb Williams make a faster decision, at the very least, they may still get around the edge a little bit, the quarterback, but you're making him make a faster decision on what they're going to do, because, you know, Parsons, we saw him chase down Goff a couple different times
yes.
as he left the pocket. So good week one for Packers fans, Packer fan the whole game. I mean, that was a pretty dominant game,
yes.
Whole game. Viking fans, the first half was not good. It was really bad, but I'll give credit to the Vikings. They were patient with young J.J. McCarthy. They baby-stepped him into it a little bit, and then second half, they didn't turn him loose fully. He did have a pick six. It was just a bad throw. It was just, I think J.J. McCarthy, that was a transition from college to pro. He threw an out pattern. It looked open to me. As soon as he threw it, the cornerback came from like 10 yards back to make the pick. So an encouraging week for both teams. We'll have more Greeple football talk next Tuesday and probably later this week a little bit too on the morning segment. Thank you, Gray.
Thank you.
More with Pat Kreitlow coming up here on a Greeple Tuesday, green and purple. We talk Tuesday here on the Buzz of the North, WBZH.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Joining me today is Darren Jensen, a sheriff's deputy of Sawyer County. And good morning, Darren. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to be talking about one of the many hats that you wear at the sheriff's department is a ALICE training instructor. And tell us a little bit about ALICE and what it means and what you do, what you bring to a lot of our local schools and businesses in the area.
So what ALICE is it's a active shooter response for civilian employees. It's an acronym that stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evacuate. So it's an option-based training program for schools, places of worship, wherever. Yeah. It could be even for people that are in Walmart by themselves, because all of the skill sets are applicable anywhere you go.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a sequential sequence that you have to go through. Obviously, we're going to teach evacuate. If we can get out, we get out. And the whole goal is to reduce mass casualty.
Yeah. So tell us about what ALICE training does to your participants. And again, I know you just went through all the different schools before school started. You brought staff members through the Hayward School District. I forget what other school districts you have, but explain what that is.
So I did the Hayward School District, the Winter School District, and then I was a guest in Minong School District as well over in Washburn County.
Okay.
But what Alice brings to the table is it teaches everyone about situational awareness, essentially taking in that perception of your reality and what's going on around you. It's one of those things that, unfortunately, some people don't have a lot of situational awareness, right? We all kind of know the person that walks in a crosswalk staring at their phone.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden a car is there and they drop their phone.
Yeah.
It's teaching people to walk with your head up, look at your surroundings, look at what's essentially out of the ordinary of your everyday life.
And I don't do that myself when I go to a local store and I have my list in front of me on my phone. And it's kind of like a horse with blinders. You're just focused on what you're going on, you know, what you're going to do here and get out of there as quickly as possible because it just gets crazy.
Right.
But
especially in the summertime. And one of the best ways I can equate it to is some people have preconceived notions about certain types of dogs, German Shepherds, Rottweilers.
Yeah. Yep.
How many times do you see people, if they're walking down one side of the crosswalk and they see a German Shepherd or a scary looking dog somewhere up there, they all of a sudden now move over to the other sidewalk.
Okay.
Their situational awareness is kicking in saying that dog may be a threat, so I'm going to move out of the way.
Very interesting.
So we're just trying to get people to understand that with a human aspect.
Right.
Without being prejudiced, but understanding what may look different, what may look normal, and using that to make our own decision on what we should do.
Okay. So walk us through a scenario and what someone could, you know, be changing in their habits of being aware of their surroundings.
I would say cell phone use is probably the major thing. We see it all the time in law enforcement, people on their phones texting and driving, on their phones texting and walking, talking with their AirPods in, putting the phone down once in a while when you're walking on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Look at who may be out of the ordinary. Is there someone that has been standing outside of a restaurant for hours that doesn't look like they should be there? They're not waiting for other guests. They're not going in or out of other stores. Looking at what we call in law enforcement a target glance. Maybe they're looking to see what time the store is closed. They're peering in the windows all the time. Just stuff like that. So you can really understand how a human body operates. I suggest go watch people.
Yeah.
Get used to what looks normal. You know, everyday conversation like what we're having now, normal. But if you walk by and say hi to someone and they don't respond or they don't even look up, well, why is that?
Yeah.
Something should say, yeah, that person could be unfriendly, but most normal human beings are going to say hi back or wave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
sometimes you're going to count that, well, that person must be having a bad day or they're focused on something else in their life. And we kind of poo-poo it. But again, it's a flag. It's not a red flag. It's not probably not even a yellow flag, but it's different.
It's an indicator for us of something may be different. And on top of that, talk with your families too and have a plan in case something happens.
Sure.
When we go to Walmart as a family, my family knows exactly what's going to happen. When we go to eat, they know exactly where my chair is. My back's not going to be to the door because I'm taking in everything that's going around. And that's almost for every cop. They're not going to want to have their back because they want to see people coming in.
Yeah.
And it may be because law enforcement officers are known to be hypervigilant, so we see everything that's happening and look at it maybe different than a normal civilian.
Yep.
But have a plan with family. My family knows exactly what's going to happen no matter where we go.
Sure.
Because I'll point out exits. I'll point out how to get through backs of stores.
Yeah.
And we're just a little more prepared, I guess.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more on how someone can get a hold of you or another Alice trainer, depending on what county they're in. How can they get more information about this?
If you have a law enforcement officer that's an Alice instructor, they can teach anywhere within that county for an Alice class.
Okay.
So if someone in Sawyer County wants one that doesn't have an Alice instructor, all they have to do is reach out to the sheriff's office. And Sheriff Morotek is incredibly helpful with this stuff. He doesn't charge anybody for this service, not even other counties for us instructors to go to. and just reach out to them and ask if an instructor can come in and do an ALICE class. And we set up a time and come in and do the class.
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
All right. Well, Darren, thank you for coming in and at least shedding a light on this and letting people know this is what it's about. Maybe if their organization would like to get more information about this, they just contact the sheriff's office. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.